All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm speaking to you from New York City on this 26th day of January, 2021. And I do like to remind you, I publish a newsletter called Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks. You can subscribe to that by going to miningstocks.com, or you can call our office here in New York City at 718-457-1426, 718-457-1426 during normal work hours. And I would also like to encourage you to consider signing up for Chen Lin's letter, What is Chen Buying, What is Chen Selling? Go to chenpicks.com. ChenPicks.com for Chen's excellent work, really coming up with some exciting biotech stories these days, as well as in the mining sector he also focuses on. But biotechs, he's just really having a lot of fun and making a lot of money in the biotech sector now. So you might want to consider, if that's an area of interest to you, consider signing up for Chen Lin's letter. We do want to thank all of you for listening, making this one of the more popular shows on the Voice America Business Channel. Also want to thank you and encourage you to continue sending along your comments about this show. Anything you have to say, we're happy to hear what you have, and it's always helpful to us to know if we're connecting with you or not, and that's one way that we know. We do want to thank our sponsors for making this show economically viable. Today's sponsors are Cassiar Gold Corp., SK Mining, Novo Resources, Sitka Gold Corp., El Oro Resources, Hannon Metals, Irving Resources, Fury Gold Mines, Great Bear Resources, and Lion One Metals. I've titled today's show, Will Democrats Be Gold Friendly? John Rubino and Dr. Quentin Henning return as guests this week. The Democrat Party hates gold, but so does the Republican Party. Alan Greenspan explained why politicians hate gold in his 1966 essay that he wrote. He said, and I quote, "This is the shabby secret of the welfare statist triads against gold. Deficit spending is simply a scheme for the hidden confiscation of wealth. Gold stands in the way of this insidious process. It stands as a protector of property rights. If one grasps this, one has no difficulty understanding that statist antagonism toward the gold standard," end of quote. Well, now that Democrats control all branches of our government, what, if anything, will that mean for stocks, bonds, commodities, precious metals in 2021? Even if the Republicans had retained control of the Senate, we could have anticipated endless trillions of inflationary dollars being created because, quite frankly, as President Nixon declared, back in the early 1970s, he said, and I quote, "We are all Keynesians now." The swamp creatures that were created with Keynesian economics is what Washington is all about. And that's what President Eisenhower warned us about, that in fact, the people that feed off of the money that's created out of nothing by Washington, by the Federal Reserve, will become extremely powerful and have more to say about the country than our founding fathers ever wanted them to have to say. Well, lies can appear as truth for a very long time, but eventually science and mathematics become truth tellers. And I fear the truth about Keynesian economics is about to bite the entire world in the posterior end, because through the Keynesian distortion of the price of capital, debt is growing exponentially, while GDP required to service that debt is slowing to a trickle. So how will politicians and central bankers respond? Well, politically, they can't afford to admit that they are wrong, so they will keep on doing the only thing they know and that is to continue on with the same insane path of printing more and more money faster and faster while expecting different results. So we can be quite certain that the big lie that politicians have been telling people for so many decades is about to be exposed, as all fiat currencies are now racing towards the dustbin of history, as Alistair MacLeod likes to remind us on this show frequently. My inflation-deflation index, which I publish weekly now, continues to reach new highs with commodities leading the way. So the inevitable end would seem to be hyperinflation, although it is possible we could see some financial deflation in the interim. One possibility is that central banks lose control of interest rates, leading to massive bond losses, and which would be expected then also to trigger equity market declines. But that would likely result in still more money printing and more than likely some heavy-handed totalitarian laws passed to try to fix the problem. But through it all, tangible monetary assets like gold and silver will hold their purchasing power. We can be sure of that based on thousands of years of history. In any event, John Rubino will be with me during the second half of today's show to talk about what, if any, difference Democratic control of the U.S. government will have on various markets, and specifically on the gold markets, as well as prospects for equity and bond markets as well. And what John sees, as far as equity markets are concerned, reminiscent of the dot-com bubble in 2000. And so John will be giving his ideas about the potential for an equity market decline. Michael Oliver is not with us this week, but I should just mention that he now seems to have little concern for any serious decline in the price of gold. He is scheduled to be with me next week to update us on his views of the markets. I should also mention that regarding silver, Michael has not voiced any concerns. He remains extremely bullish on poor man's gold, which leads me to bring a very exciting silver story to your attention, that being one of our sponsors, namely El Oro Resources. And we are extremely fortunate to have Dr. Quentin Henning with us right now to talk about the exciting drill results that were reported by El Oro this morning. The company reported a headline drill intercept of 257.5 meters, grading 129.6 grams of silver equivalent. Now, Quentin did first introduce El Oro to the listeners of this show on January 5th. At that time, it sold at $1.90 in Canadian money. I just checked a little while ago. That's in Canadian dollars, $1.90. I checked a little while ago before we went on the show. It's up to $3.03 now, and that's on the basis largely of this news that just came out this morning. Should just mention before I say hello to Quentin, ELO on the Canadian exchanges, in the U.S. it's ELRRF, or is the symbol. This is a company that has a market cap now, if my arithmetic is right, of something like $157 million in Canadian money. Welcome, Quentin, and thank you so much for taking the time to be with us in this first segment.
Thank you very much, Jay. It's a good opportunity given the timing of the announcement this morning.
Yeah, indeed. So let's get right into it. What have you learned from the announcement this morning of this this intercept and other drill holes as well?
Yeah, look, I won't dive into a lot of background about the story. I think we covered a lot of that back in the broadcast a couple of weeks ago. But the drill results here today, it really confirms that we are on to a significant discovery. To put it in perspective, this new pipe that's been drilled or discovered, the Santa Barbara pipe, it's about 400 meters in diameter. And we actually drilled this from underground, believe it or not. So we had a drill station, because there's artisanal workings, we had a drill station we could get into and drill from underground. And we drilled a couple of holes at this pipe. We drilled 13, 14, and 15 at this pipe. 13 actually went along the margin of it, so it didn't get into the breccia. 14, which was almost a horizontal hole, did get into the breccia. We could see it was mineralized, and there was some good values in it. There were some good values in 13, too, which is quite interesting. But it was hole 15 that was a smoker. Okay, so from this underground platform, we poked a hole into this breccia pipe, the St. Barbara breccia pipe, and the hole entered the pipe. It went through it somewhat tangentially and then exited the other wall. Okay, so think about a glass, you know, like a water glass in front of you, mm-hmm. a triple water glass. We basically, you know, had a glancing blow. We kind of hit the thing along its edge, went into the glass for a bit, and then we went back out. But as we went through that glass and we hit the breccia, we hit 257 meters, as you said, of mm-hmm. nearly 130 gram per ton silver equivalent. Now, that's phenomenal, okay? I mean, that tells you right there we're dealing with a huge volume pipe that apparently is well mineralized and getting better with depth. You can go to the news release. You can kind of kick back with a glass of wine and read it this evening, because you really need to sit down and look at all the numbers and digest them. These are polymetallic systems, okay? It's not just silver. It's silver, zinc, lead. In this case, we have tin, copper, indium, and other metals, including gold in places, okay? So this is basically a polymetallic smorgasbord of metal. And we can now, you know, honestly say, given the assays are back, that we are on to a significant discovery. Okay, so drilling from underground is great, but the limitations of drilling underground, basically the rig can only do, I think, around 300 meters. We realized we had to do something a little more aggressive to really give this thing a good test now. So we've cut a road all the way up to the top of the mountain. We put the drill right on top of the St. Barbara breccia pipe, and we're now poking holes down into it. So if we were standing on a water glass, we're actually drilling down steeply down into the water glass at steep angles. Yes, it does hit the wall eventually, you know, but usually it's 600 mm-hmm. meters down or thereabouts. So what have we done? Well, right before Christmas, we drilled the second hole from surface, which was, I think, about an inclination of 60 degrees, and it was drilled southward. And the hole went through the St. Barbara breccia pipe. It had hundreds of meters of mineralized breccia. It went into the wall, so it went into the wall of the glass, say, and then guess what? It went into the next breccia pipe immediately south. We went into the central breccia pipe, I kid you not, and the hole carried on to, I think, a depth of something like 620 or 30 meters or something. Anyway, the central pipe is also mineralized, okay? So not only is this 400-meter diameter St. Barbara breccia pipe mineralized, but this next one to the south, which is even bigger, is also mineralized. This one to the south, which is called the central breccia, is about 700 meters north-south, and it's about 450 meters wide east-west. So it's kind of an odd thing, a football-shaped thing, okay? But we can now tell you, I mean, honestly, that, you know, we've got two massive pipes here that are both mineralized, and if anything, the metal's increasing as we go deeper. The bottom of that hole, the bottom of hole two, that was drilled from surface, has hit massive sulfides, including pyrite and sphalerite and galena and all the goodies that you want to see at the bottom of the hole. The hole ended in bad ground, but it was in really, really good mineralized ground. Okay, so we are super excited about the upcoming assays that will come out of hole two. There is description in the news release about the details around that. I think they also threw some pictures in. It'll give people a really good sense of what's coming. We're on the very, you know, beginning cusp of this story. This is just going to take off. I think it could be one of the best stories in, quite frankly, in mining in the past decade. It's absolutely massive. I mean, this Potosi-type system, these things are basically, they're formed by a giant porphyry at depth. In this case, the porphyry might be a few hundred meters below us, but it's not far, okay, because we're seeing a lot of mineralization. We're seeing a lot of exotic elements that you only see when you're basically sitting right on top of the porphyry. We're seeing tin, we're seeing indium. Indium's a very high-value metal. We're seeing, you know, some other exotic metals that tell us we're very, very close in proximity to the porphyry source. You know, when I say close, I'm talking hundreds of meters, okay? But, you know, when you're dealing with a pipe or pipes like this that go down a kilometer or two, you know, you have a lot of rock to work with. And then below that, there might be a lot more rock.
In the porphyry.
Yeah, exactly. This is going to be a very, very exciting story over the next few months.
Yeah, I would certainly encourage listeners to make sure that they go to the company's website and read the press release there, because those pictures do help you to conceptualize the magnitude and, you know, the orientation of the drill holes that went in, as you just talked about. Very helpful, I found, to look at that. And the company's well-financed to go forward. And how much of a drilling program do you think we can look forward to in 2021?
Like right now, with the monies that were just raised, there's plans for 14,000 meters. Mm-hmm. That will allow us to drill a series of well-planned holes, again, down into the glass, so to speak, at the St. Barbara pipe, but also test that central breccia. I would say just on those 14,000 meters that we should have a very good indication of the tons and grade of this system, at least, you know, a beginning, we'll say.
Sure.
But, you know, given the magnitude of this discovery, you know, it's likely that things will need to be accelerated. Don't have much more to say about that right now, but I mm-hmm. think we're on to what could be, again, one of the biggest mineral discoveries in many years.
Well, that's funny to hear you say that, because we're going to have you come back the next segment, and somebody else thinks they may have one of the biggest discoveries in recent times as well. Yeah. That has to do with Eskay Creek, the Eskay mining.
We're going to have fun.
What was that, Quentin?
I say we're going to have a lot of fun talking about that one.
With that one as well. Okay, well, we do have to go to break now, folks, but don't go away, because we will be right back with Quentin Henning to talk about Eskay Mining, which is also on to a very exciting discovery. We'll be right back with Quentin Henning.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Cassiar Gold Corp trades on the OTCQB under the symbol CGLCF and on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol GLDC. Its flagship asset, the Cassiar Gold Project, is a large advanced stage road-accessible gold property with an NI 43-101 compliant resource estimate of 1 million ounces at 1.43 grams per ton gold at the Taurus near-surface bulk tonnage gold deposit and 15 kilometers of high-grade gold prospects. The property hosts several past producing high-grade gold mines and is in search for the next multi-million ounce gold camp in British Columbia.
Fury Gold Mines is a Canadian exploration and development company committed to aggressively growing its scalable, high-grade gold assets across its 3.5 million ounce portfolio. Led by a management team of proven explorers and developers, Fury aims to generate major catalyst and performance per share by advancing exploration campaigns across Canada. Fury is well positioned to create value for investors with low risk development growth and the potential for a new major discovery. Fury Gold Mines trades on the TSX and NYSE American under Fury. To learn more, go to FuryGoldMines.com.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.